Praise God. I'm glad to be here tonight. Let's get our Bibles. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. And we were talking somewhat about the rapture this morning. And I want to go a little bit further into that tonight. Praise God, because the rapture is more than just the people of God being caught up out of this world. Amen. It is a fulfillment of the gospel. It's a fulfillment of the gospel. It is the bride becoming the bride. Amen. The beloved becoming the bride. And we need to know what's about to happen in our world. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Praise God. Praise God. What a powerful scripture there. We're not all going to sleep. That means we're not all going to pass away and be dead in the grave. But the dead are going to be raised incorruptible, and we which are alive and remain, are going to be changed. Amen. I'm looking for that change. I'm looking for that change. This old world hasn't got anything to offer us for eternity. I'm looking for the change. Praise God. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray you give us liberty in the Word of God. I pray your hand upon the message tonight, that you will stir our hearts, that you will help us to see the reality of serving you and what is coming for the church very, very soon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. You know, there is much that has been said over the years. There are many who have used the rapture and the coming of the Lord for great motivation or to influence or to grandstand. Someone mentioned to me about a particular apostolic preacher that his whole ministry is about prophecy, and I don't discount that at all, but this particular individual put an ad in the paper, and this was US Today, so it was a national newspaper. It's been quite a few years ago, and he purchased a full-page ad in that newspaper. And the ad basically said, in fact, I think it said it exactly, within 1 year from today, 1 billion people on the earth are going to pass away. And my first immediate reaction was not ooh and aah, but my first immediate reaction was skepticism. Amen. It was grandstanding over the truth that Jesus is coming. Amen. We are not trying here to motivate anyone by fear, although the fear of the Lord is a great motivator to do the will of God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But the truth of it is that if we are serving God for any other reason than that we love Him, we're serving Him for the wrong reason. Amen. And the real truth is that the rapture is going to take place one day. And the Old Testament gives us some raptures to give us examples of this. This is not a new concept. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, if you'll turn with me tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so we have a biblical account of Enoch, the seventh from Adam, who one day just disappeared. Amen. And he was caught up to be with the Lord because he had a tremendous testimony that he pleased God. I wonder tonight, that is that what we need to be translated from this world to heaven? I believe that we must have a testimony that we please God. Amen. Are you pleasing God with your life tonight? It's very important that we look at it as individuals. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. And let's turn there tonight. Praise God. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. What a way to go. What a way to go. Amen. I hope if a tornado comes, that's what happens in a whirlwind. Amen. Just go right on up to heaven, and nobody knows where you're at. Amen. And Elijah, the prophet, the man of God, was caught up into heaven. Now, we don't understand why it was Enoch and why it was Elijah, but the Bible records that that's exactly what took place. And we also, and I don't have the scripture tonight, but the scripture comes to me of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that when he rose from the dead, many of the saints that were in their tombs came out alive and went into the city and spoke to many people. Amen. The resurrection, the rapture, is really, if we could change the name of it just for the sake of understanding, we would call it the resurrection. Amen. We would call it the very day that the saints of God will come out of their graves and go to meet the Lord forever. Amen. And one other significant Old Testament story, we've already talked about this some, is the story of Noah and the ark. And while the ark was being prepared, God held back the judgment. Amen. There was preaching that needed to go on. Because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so there had to be some messages that were preached until the coming of the Lord. I think oftentimes we discount the preaching of the Word of God, and I know that you folks don't do that, but in many, many places, the preaching of the Word of God is becoming secondary, and music and entertainment is becoming primary. But I believe tonight that it is very important. We cannot have faith without preaching, and we cannot preach unless the preacher has been sent by God. Amen. And it's very, very important to understand this, that God held back the judgment until every message that needed to be preached was preached. Amen. Because Noah was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't necessarily a preacher that got up and patted everybody on the back, but he was a preacher of righteousness. And he said, this is right and this is wrong. Amen. He preached to the people of his day. And while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also save us. And that's another little message there that I want to bring out here just for a moment tonight. But Noah and his family preached. They ministered to the people around them. They did the will of God while they were working on their salvation ship. Now, you talk about a high call of God. Amen. There's a high call of God right there. The call of God to help others to be saved, and at the same time saving yourself. Amen. And not just saving yourself, but saving your family. It's a high calling, and there are many that are going to accept that high call of God in their life, and do the will of God. Do you want to do the will of God tonight? I want my children to be saved. I want my grandchildren to be saved. Amen. And it is imperative upon us to live for God and to do the will of God, because when the last message is preached, now think about this tonight, the rapture is going to take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. At the last trump, we're going to be doing whatever it is that we're going to be doing. Some people are going to be sleeping on one side of the world. On the other side of the world, it will be high noon, and they will be in the middle of a work day. Everybody's going to be doing something different in their life, and all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than a second, amen, all of a sudden, the last message, somebody on the earth is going to say, let's all say amen, and the congregation says amen. And as soon as that last word is spoken by the preaching of the Word of God, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be changed. Amen. God's will have been done upon this earth, and it will be time to take His children home. Somebody said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what we're living for here. That's why we come to church. Amen. That's why we support the work of God. That's why we're building this ark. We're trying to save ourselves, and we're trying to save others. I commend all of you tonight for your commitment and your dedication to God and your desire to help others. Amen. We've got a situation, Brother Hilton, who has been here a number of times and preached, him and his wife, and he is doing a prison ministry, and a young man has been released and wants to come to church as soon as possible, lives in the Wichita area. And we've got to open our arms to everybody that desires God. Amen. We've got to be wise for our family's sake. We've got to be wise for the church's sake. Amen. We've got to be wise in these things. But at the same time, everybody needs the Lord. Amen. We called out a name tonight, Tony, and I won't go into the details. But the details are not very pretty. But Jesus died for that person. Jesus died for your neighbor. Jesus died for your children. Jesus died for your parents. Amen. And so it is very important for us tonight to remember that and to know that the last message was preached and the rapture took place. Amen. Maybe it'll happen tonight. I don't know. Would you be ready if He came tonight? Would you be ready to go if He came tonight? We can look at Noah and the ark, and we can see that God uses water baptism because it is the very thing that separates us from judgment and brings us to salvation. You think about that tonight. There is a... in the scientific community, they call it the water tension. And the water tension that is on the surface of water is actually what holds the giant ships up. And it is the square footage of the bottom of the ship and the water that clings to itself on the surface. And so there is no mixing between the water and the ship. There is a fine line right there. And there is no mixing of the church with the world. And the defining situation there is the water. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. It was the water that destroyed the world, but it was the water that saved Noah and his family. Maybe I could preach a little bit. I'm not going to, but I could preach a little bit. Amen. About the defining of the water. Praise God. Because the water defines who we are. Amen. We love Jesus Christ tonight. We're serving Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. We're not serving Mohammed. We're not serving a Holy Trinity. Amen. We are serving Jesus Christ tonight. And so the reason we follow Him and serve Him is because He is our Savior. and he is the Savior of the world. And so when he commands baptism, who other name would we want to be baptized in than the name of our Savior? Praise the Lord. I'll take his name over the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'll take his name over Buddha. I'll take his name over Mohammed. I will take his name over Allah. Amen. And I might get myself in trouble for saying these things, but I'm telling you, it is the truth of the Word of God. Salvation comes by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Praise the Lord. And it separates us. The water separates us. Romans chapter 6, and we've got the gospel tonight, and I'm sure that everybody here knows what the gospel is. Amen. Somebody tell me what the first part of the gospel is. Jesus died. What's the next one? He was buried. And what's the next one? He rose again, according to the scriptures. So we have death, we have burial, and we have resurrection. We hammer away at that in our Bible studies. Amen. We're going to get it into our new ones, because that is the principal thing that we preach and that we believe tonight. Somebody said amen. Praise God. God help me tonight. And the gospel here, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, and if you'll turn with me here tonight, let's read the scriptures and let's look at the Word of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him. Everybody said with him. We are buried with him by baptism into death. Praise God. We are buried with him in baptism. Verse 6 of the same chapter gives us a biblical definition of repentance. And it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. And so it is a crucifixion with him. We are crucified with him. We are buried with him. And we rise with him. Praise God. In verse 4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. And so we have a two-pronged situation here. We have two levels of the gospel. And the first level is salvation. When we come to God, we must die with him in repentance. And the death of crucifixion was a total, complete sacrifice of self. There was nothing left. And in fact, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that he did not even look like a man. He had been beaten and bloodied, and his back was torn open, a hole in his side, nailed to a cross, slapped in the face. No doubt his face was covered with bruises. The hairs of his face were ripped out of his face. There was spit hanging off of his face. And it was for you and for me that he did that. I thank God for that today. I didn't realize as a sinner how offensive my sin was to God. But my sin was very offensive to God. And he knew that because it was great, that sin is great and has great power, that there was going to have to be a great sacrifice, that there would have to be something that took place that would cover the sins of the whole world. And I cannot imagine in my mind, I really can't, I cannot imagine all of the sins of the world. I cannot think about all that goes on in the world and the abuses of mankind by mankind and the sins of our world. Yes, he went to Calvary because of lying and stealing and cheating, but there was a whole lot more to the story. And a holy God who had no sin and cannot sin, amen, he who knew no sin was not acquainted with it in any in any fashion or form. Amen. He became sin. He took on the sins of the world. The reason the judgment is going to be so severe is because Calvary was severe. Amen. Calvary was so severe that it was a showing of God's love to you and I and everybody in this world, how much He loves us. And when we reject Calvary, when we reject the gospel and we go our own way, we are literally saying, God, You did Your very best to save me, but no thank you, I don't want the gift of salvation from You. It's a very, very fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. And so we die with Him in repentance. We are buried with Him in baptism. And then we rise to walk in a newness of life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. John chapter 3 and verse 5, you should be able to quote this. Jesus said, except a man be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Amen. And so when we die with Him and we are buried with Him and then we rise with Him, it is called being born again. The old man dies. The old man is buried. And when he receives the Holy Ghost, amen, he becomes a new man. Amen. All things are become new. Praise God. Is everything new in your life? I'll tell you, time has a way of grinding along, doesn't it? And after a while, you get set into the program of every day. And we miss the newness and the excitement. Amen. We've got a new one among us. We've got another new one that's coming among us. And it's really interesting. It's really exciting. Those of you that are here tonight understand this, that just the littlest things, just the little bitty things that you can do will put a smile on a baby's face. Amen. I love to see my grandchildren smile. And, we'll tell them things. We were eating yesterday. I took the men over to Oklahoma Boys Barbecue. See what you missed because you didn't come to help out with the carpet. And we're sitting there, and little Matthew, he's not feeling well tonight, and he's a good boy, but he's still a child in a lot of ways. He was picking on me. He was trying to take my phone out of the thing. And so I played along with the game and reached over real quick and missed him on purpose. And he thought that was really funny until the hamburger and French fries that I bought and paid for, amen, came and they put it in front of me instead of him. And I said, oh, thank you for that. And then they brought my hamburger and set it there in front of me as well. And I said, I think this will be enough for lunch. Amen. He got pretty upset real quick. And I said, well, he started eating. I said, how's your bamburger? Amen. And he just stopped and he looked at me. He couldn't figure out what I was saying. He said, it's a hamburger. I said, no, it's a bamburger. Amen. And I just love doing that with little kids. Amen. Well, praise God. I love to make little noises so my grandson smiles. Amen. Love to hold him up in the air. He's baby Superman flying around the house. And they think it's wonderful. You know, life is exciting when it's simple. Praise God. And it's because they have a new life. Amen. It's because they've never been down this road before, and everything around them, a cell phone, they'll just play with it for the longest time. They'll just look at something and reach out and just touch it and then stop and then go back and touch it again and then go back and touch it again. And it just goes on and on and on and on. Amen. Because life is exciting. Praise God. And when we come to the Lord, oh God, help us that we never get to the place where it's not exciting anymore. It is exciting. Just the little things that God does thrills me. Amen. Just the feeling of the presence of God when we come to church thrills my heart. I just love to feel God's presence. Does anybody else feel that way tonight? I really do. I feel that way tonight. And so Romans chapter 6 and verse 5, and I don't often talk about this, but it says in verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." And so Paul is not just talking about what happened when we got saved. He's not just talking about that initial birth, that new birth that came to us when we accepted him and we were baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. There is another aspect to this, and that is that we are planted together with him. Praise God. We are planted together with him. If y'all just let me just talk a little bit here tonight. Amen. I know I'm not going to haul off and preach, but it'll still be preaching anyway. I've just got a little plan this year, and I do this every so often. I don't know if it's late life crisis or whatever it is, but I got some seeds. Amen. I got some sunflower seeds, and I've got a little tray of them in my office at the house, and I planted them, and I'm getting them started before the season comes, so they'll be ready to go. And I planted some of those big sunflowers, the ones that get about a foot across, and I've got a dozen of them things I'm going to plant at the house. And my goal is to get one of them in the state fair. Amen. And then I got me some other seeds, and it is pumpkins. Some of you might remember the year that I got into the pumpkin craze and I planted a whole lot of pumpkins. Everybody in the church had plenty of pumpkins. Amen. Planted the whole field out there in pumpkins. Well, this year I'm going to plant some of those huge pumpkins. Amen. The ones that get to be 2,000 pounds. Amen. And so y'all pray for me, all right? But there's something amazing about it. I put those seeds in the ground, those sunflower seeds, and within 2 days, they're already popping through the surface. That's amazing to me. That's simply amazing. I'm going to plant some other stuff, too. I found out that there are two variations of stevia. I use stevia to sweeten my drinks and all of that, but the kind that I buy is kind of bitter. It's got a bitter taste to it. But my wife's uncle, who is a botanist, said, "Oh, there's another variation, and it's not bitter at all. It's just sweet, and it's called candy stevia." So I bought some candy stevia seeds, and they came in a package. There was about 200. I was supposed to have 100, but they gave me at least 200 or more. And these seeds are so tiny, I wouldn't even say they're as big as the point of a pin. They are so very, very small, and I planted all of those, and I'm going to grow some stevia this year. So if anybody wants a little sweetener, I might have some by the end of the season. Amen. But it's amazing to me. Now, maybe you just overlook this. I don't know. But to me, the world around me is intriguing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And to think that something that is so small can grow into a plant that will grow 3 feet tall and probably 3 feet around in diameter. Amen. All the information is right there in that little bitty seed, and God made it that way. Amen. Did you know that when we got the seed of the Word of God and it was planted in our hearts and it brought forth salvation, that all the information we need is in the gospel of Jesus Christ? All the information, the DNA of the Word of God is complete. Amen. It's got everything. I need preaching in my life. I need to hear the Word of God. I need to feel the powers of the world to come. I need to have the sunshine of Jesus Christ in my life so that I can germinate and become what He wants me to be. And I think about it. Amen. I think about it. I got a little picture over here in front of my office, and we used to have some plants out in front on the porch until the thieves came and stole the planters. And all of a sudden, a tree came up in the middle of it, and I thought, oh my, what is that? And I dug around it and brought it up, and it was a walnut seed that a squirrel had obviously was going to save for wintertime, and it germinated and started growing a seed. And so I pulled it out, the roots, the top, and everything. That's what that picture is all about there. And underneath the surface, the seed died, but it now is producing a brand new life. Amen. But it has to be planted. It's got to be put down in the ground, and it can't stay alive. It has to die. Amen. And the miracle of growth is just so intriguing to me and so such a beautiful thing. Amen. Because when we are planted, amen, when we die with Him in repentance, we are buried with Him in baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is a spiritual birth. Amen. It is a spiritual seed that brings forth a spiritual birth. But that spiritual birth goes to another level in that when we die physically in this world, just because we have the Holy Ghost doesn't mean we're not going to get sick. It doesn't mean that all of our troubles are going to go away. It doesn't mean that we're not going to spend some time in a hospital, probably, maybe. Amen. I know there's Joshua and Caleb, and God bless Joshua and Caleb. Amen. But we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. And we're going to do the best we can with what we've got, but the day will come when your pastor will pass away. The day will come when this congregation will be different faces. Amen. There'll be more new faces than there will old faces. And some things will pass away. Well, praise God. They're going to pass away, and they will be buried in the ground, physically die and physically buried. But that's not the end of the story. Amen. It's not the end of the story when we repent and we're baptized. There is a resurrection that is coming. Praise God. There is a resurrection that awaits every child of God. And it doesn't matter if the body decomposes and all that is left is the bones. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're buried at sea. It doesn't matter how it happens. Amen. God registers that soul. And on resurrection day, we are going to be changed by a power of God in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We are going to be changed from this old body of death, and we are going to be resurrected. That's what the rapture is all about. That's what the rapture is all about. It's all about a resurrection. And you can't go in the second resurrection, if you please. That's really not biblically correct. But the first resurrection is when we get saved, and the second resurrection is on the rapture day. Praise God. Now, the Bible says that it's the first rapture or the first resurrection, and the second resurrection is going to be the resurrection of the wicked. Amen. And they will be resurrected. I don't believe that they will be resurrected into a body that is changed like the child of God. I don't know. Possibly when you die as a sinner, if you've got a heart problem, you're going to be resurrected with a heart problem. If you've got a physical infirmity, you'll be resurrected with that. For sure, you will be resurrected with all the attitudes, with all of the sin, with all of the wickedness. Amen. Hell is going to be just that. It's going to be hell. Amen. And that's why it's called that, because every vile, every sinner, oh God, help us. The last thing I want to do is to go to hell. The last thing you want to do is make decisions in your life that will cause you to go to that lake of fire that burns for all of eternity. And the Bible calls that the second resurrection. Blessed is he who is counted worthy to be in the first resurrection. And the first resurrection is the rapture. Now, it's important to note here tonight that the word rapture is not in the Bible. Amen. But it says we will be caught up together with them in the clouds. The word rapture means caught up, and it's just a simpler way of saying that. But I'll tell you, what we need to do is get caught up in this thing. Well, praise the Lord. It's not all about church programs, but we need to get caught up in the presence of God, in the will of God, in God's plan for your life. I've been saying it recently, but young people, give your life to God. Spend your life for God. You'll never regret it on that day. Amen. Because that day is coming. Amen. And it tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Turn with me tonight. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's the Holy Ghost, that's God Almighty, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, amen, the dead are going to be raised incorruptible. It is not an ongoing process. It is not something that is taking place from now through eternity, and we're going to live on this earth. Amazingly, there are some apostolics that are going for this doctrine that is now being passed around, that the rapture, we're not going to experience a group rapture. But if you've got an open heart and an open mind, all you've got to do is read the scripture and you can see the dead are going to be raised incorruptible at the sounding of the trumpet. Amen. At a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. Amen. We are all going up together. You say, well, what difference does it make? It makes a big difference, because if it is just an ongoing thing, then I've got plenty of time. Amen. I can put off, I can put away the things that are important because there's not going to be a rapture. But hear me tonight. There is going to be a rapture of the church. It is going to happen, and we are going to go and be with him. Praise God. I'm excited about it. I don't know about you. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And here's what happened. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Amen. Well, praise God. If the resurrection is an ongoing thing, then there is no room for the living to be resurrected. We will have to die in order to be resurrected. But Jesus said two are going to be grinding at the mill. That sounds like to me they're alive. Two are going to be working in the field. That sounds like they're going to be alive. And while they're alive, one is going to be taken and the other is going to be left behind. What I read in this and what I perceive in this is daily commerce. Amen. A daily activity that all of us are involved in. Don't let the daily activity of your life separate you from a close walk with God. Amen. You're going to be sitting at your computer and you click the letter T, and you're getting ready to click H, and all of a sudden you're in the presence of the Lord. That's exactly what's going to happen. Amen. We will all be changed. Praise God. I'm excited about it tonight. Paul spoke of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and starting with verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or dead, or those who have passed away, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Praise God. We have hope tonight. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Amen. We believe this tonight. Do you believe this tonight? What you believe is what you're going to act upon. What you believe is what is going to be your motivation. Not what you accept as the preacher's words, not what you accept as the words of the Bible, but what you believe. Amen. We try our best here at New Life Tabernacle to put the Word of God into hearts. We do our best to get the Word of God into the youth group. Amen. Because the only way we can believe, we've got to hear it first. And so many times we have to hear it multiple times. Amen. Just because we say it once doesn't mean it's gotten into the heart. Amen. But we've got to get it in our heart. And with the heart, man believes. Amen. There's got to be a heart issue here where when we come to God, we give our life to Him because we believe. Amen. And He is going to bring that those that believe with Him. "For this we say unto you," verse 15, "by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Amen. "And we which are alive and remain." And so there is no ongoing, I know I'm harping on this tonight, but we've got to have this understanding of what the resurrection is. If it is an ongoing thing, then the dead are going to be raised. But what about those of us that are alive? We have to wait till we die. No, he said, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." Praise God. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven," that's verse 16, verse 17, "then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." It is a group situation. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. We do not need to be afraid of the rapture or the coming of the Lord, but it needs to be a source of comfort to us. James chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." It's near. I said it's near. The coming of the Lord is near. It is imminent. We are seeing the rise of Russia again. I talked about that this morning in the message. We are seeing the rise of communism in the world. We are seeing nations that are collapsing. Venezuela that is collapsing. And you say, well, that's just a little country. No, no, no. It's a very significant event that is taking place. People there are almost to the point of starvation. And they are sitting upon great wealth. They could be one of the most wealthiest nations in the world. They have some of the largest reserves, I think the largest reserves in the world of oil under their ground and natural resources. But the devil is out like a roaring lion. He is the destroyer. He wants to destroy your life, young men. He wants to destroy your life, young ladies. And after he's done destroying it, he will laugh in your face and kick dirt in your face. He doesn't care. He is out because he is angry that he lost his place in heaven. Well, praise the Lord. So what do we do? What we do is we get ready for the coming of the Lord today. And tomorrow when we get up in the morning, instead of saying, "Dear Lord, it's morning," we need to say, "Good morning, Lord." Praise God. We need to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for another day to serve you and to live for you." And when we get up in the morning, we need to say, "God, is there anything in me that's not pleasing to you? God, is there anything in my life that's not right? I want to get it right." Because today could be the day that the bride comes. Amen. The bridegroom comes for his bride. John chapter 3 and verse 29. Let's look at it here tonight. Just got a few more scriptures. John chapter 3 and verse 29 is speaking of John the Baptist. They asked John the Baptist, "Who are you? Are you the Christ?" He said, "No." "Are you a prophet?" "No." "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a voice in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Verse 29, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Amen. The friend of the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom. If I could use this as an analogy tonight, I think that's probably talking about the ministry, because John was given a ministry to preach and to prepare lives for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And his message, of course, you know what his message is. Luke chapter 3 and verse 4, this is the voice. He said, the voice says, repent. Amen. And I'm going to prepare the way of the coming of the Lord for you. I want you to be saved. I want you to know that the bridegroom is coming. Amen. In a Jewish wedding, they would send someone out in front of the bridegroom. He would go to the bride's house and get her and bring her home to his home on his father's property. He would get her to say yes. I say he'd get her to. She would say, "Yes, I will marry you." And so he went back to his father's house and began to build a house on his father's property. That's what it meant when Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." It is a reality that is brought out in a Jewish wedding. And as they were going to the bride's house, the friend of the bridegroom, there are other things, I won't go into that, but the friend of the bridegroom would go before him and he would shout out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh." I wished I could shout it from the housetop tonight. Amen. You may not believe this, but there was a time in my ministry where I could really haul off and preach. Amen. And I remember I was pastoring somewhere on the East Coast. I'm not going to get off here tonight. But I was pastoring on the East Coast, and I was preaching my heart out. I was preaching as hard as I could preach, and everything was really, really good. And after the service, one of the older men in the church come up and criticized me. It really deflated me right there. He said, "I thought you were going to eat that microphone." Amen. I pastored another church, and we had one ever more good service, and one of the elder gentlemen come up to me, he said, "This is like camp meeting." Amen. But I'm telling you what, if it's from the housetops or if it's from a podium, amen. If it is preaching or if it is teaching, it is the friend of the bridegroom that is saying, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Church, the bridegroom is coming. He's coming. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for someone who has made herself ready for him. Praise the Lord. Just three more scriptures. Sister Reed, would you come tonight, please? 1 Thessalonians 4:15. It says, unto the coming of the Lord. Everybody said, the coming of the Lord. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. So he talks about the coming of the Lord. Then he says, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Verse 8 of James chapter 5. Be patient. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Establish your heart. Let's stand together tonight. Establish your heart. Get a foundation for your heart tonight so that you know what real love is all about. The world says it's get whatever you can get. It's lust. Lust says I want. Love says I give. I don't want. I'm just going to give. God so loved that he gave. Establish your heart tonight. Young person, where's your heart at tonight? What's the thing you think about the most? Oh, I know when you're a young person, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on these young people. But at some point in your life, you're going to have to sit down and say, what's God's will for my life? Amen. What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What's the plan? Amen. Let's pray together. Somebody lift your voice with me. Come on, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I want to be careful. I want to get it right. I want to be ready in a moment. In a moment, there'll be a knock on the door. And when we open the door, the bridegroom's going to be standing there saying, are you ready to come? Are you ready to come? I've been away for a while preparing a place for you. Are you ready to come? Have you been getting your clothes ready? Have you been getting ready so that when I walk up to the door, you can receive me with joy? Oh, God, help us. Help us. We don't hear much preaching about the rapture anymore, but it's more real right now than it has ever been. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Some of you have gone through the fire, but I pray tonight that when he knocks on your door, you'll be ready. Some of you are just getting started. I pray that when he knocks on your door, you'll be ready. Some of you are in the middle tonight. I pray when he knocks on your door, you'll be ready. Yes, Lord, I've been waiting for you. I've been anticipating this moment. I've been living for this since the day I said yes. Since the day I said yes, I've been waiting for this moment. I've had a lot of discouragements. I've had a lot of trials. I've had a lot of difficulties, but it never did turn my head to say, I want someone else. I said yes to you, and I meant it with all of my heart. Amen. Establish your heart tonight, church. Establish your heart with prayer, with fasting, with seeking the face of God, with doing the will of God in your life. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Amen. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. that where I am, there you may be also. I want to be where he is. I want to be where he is. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, one more time. Let's just talk to the Lord tonight.